Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now, let's take a look at Trump's latest moves on international trade. President Donald Trump is already fulfilling the most important international aspects of his campaign's economic platforms, signaling that he's serious about fundamentally splitting from his predecessors. In his first week of office, he not only tore up what was supposed to be the legacy-defining TPP from the Obama years, but he also declared that he's going to renegotiate the Clinton-era NAFTA deal with Canada and Mexico. The American withdrawal from the TPP signals that the ambitious economic counterpart to the so-called pivot to Asia is now dead, and will probably be replaced with a series of bilateral trade deals, if at all. Nevertheless, the agreement itself had yet to enter into force, unlike NAFTA, which has been around since 1994. Renegotiating this deeply entrenched trade agreement, which has become a mainstay of global economic affairs, is bound to lead to unintended consequences, whether for better or for worse, though it demonstrates Trump's commitment to lessen the burden that is imposed on American workers. Taken together, some observers have said that Trump's withdrawal from the TPP and his stated intentions to renegotiate NAFTA amount to what can be described as a protectionist economic policy, which stands in stark contrast to Chinese President Xi's embrace of globalization at the elite Davos summit earlier this month. The U.S. and China are two of the world's three largest economies, though they now appear to be moving in two completely different trajectories despite the complex interdependence between them. Nobody quite knows for sure what this means for the future of the global economy, but one thing is certain, and it's that the competition between these two rivals is only going to get fiercer and more pronounced in the coming future. Trump is betting that his rejection of globalization will give his country a long-term edge over China, but questions remain about the consequences of transitioning one of the engines of the world economy to a supposedly protectionist system. So to open up our conversation today, we're joined by Mr. Lawrence J. Kotlikoff. He's a professor of economics at Boston University, as well as a prominent author. Hi, Lawrence, and I'm very happy we were able to bring you on the show today. Professor Kotlikoff, what can you tell us about Trump's economic vision in general, and why is he making these moves towards the TPP and NAFTA like he is? What does he have in mind?
Well, the U.S. has had a long history of desiring open trade and free trade and negotiating agreements. This is a huge departure from our tradition. I think we discovered in the 1930s with the Smoot-Hawley tariffs that putting up tariffs would lead to other countries putting up tariffs, and that it could all, you know, rebound against us and reduce world trade in general and hurt everybody's economy. I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing somebody who doesn't really know economics, has no true economic advisors, nobody that I view as a credible economist is working with him. I think he has his own, he consults himself. He looks in the mirror and decides what to think. And this is true not just on trade, but on tax policy, on climate policy, on you know, just a range of things. So I think what he's embarked on is something that he concocted out of thin air, that the TPP, for example, the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, is bad for the U.S. Well, most trade economists, I think every trade economist I've talked to, every top trade economist thinks it's a terrific deal for the U.S. As for NAFTA, no top economic study that I've ever read said it was a bad deal for the U.S. Yeah, there's winners and losers, but you can't, you know, the fact of the matter is the transportation cost of shipping goods is dramatically lower than it was 30 years ago. And the cost of wages and the wages in a country like Vietnam that can put together furniture are probably about a tenth of what wages are in the U.S. So their comparative advantage is putting together furniture.
Yeah, what I'd like to ask you, with the TPP, you know, since he wants to withdraw from it and he already signed the executive order to do so, what do you think the consequences of that will be on Asia-Pacific trade?
Well, I think, in general, it will reduce it relative to what it would otherwise be, but the real issue, I think, is whether he's going to put up tariffs against China, whether we're going to get into a trade war with China. We could even get into a shooting war with China over the South China Sea. It doesn't seem like he's a person that's being thoughtful and negotiating quietly with countries about issues that we have concerns over. You know, yesterday we heard him talking about setting up a no-fly zone in Syria? Is that something he's discussed with the Russians? Are we going to have U.S. and Russian airplanes colliding with each other or shooting at each other because each feels they have sovereignty over a certain area? You know, this seems to be shoot from the hip. Economics, shoot from the hip, foreign policy. I think it's very dangerous, and frankly, for somebody who thinks he's very brilliant, I think it's quite the opposite. I think it's really very unintelligent policymaking. So it's hard to know where things will end up. You know, we've had about a week and a half of this presidency, and I think he's already made multiple mistakes, and it may lead to the Mexican president deciding not to visit the U.S. because, I mean, think about all the countries he's insulted in this campaign and in the short time he's been president. It's remarkable. You know, China, Mexico, Germany, German prime minister, he insulted her pretty directly. That insults the entire German government. He's insulted our NATO allies, calling them cheap and irresponsible, not doing their bit to take care of collective defense. So, Muslim countries.
We're joined by Mr. Lawrence J. Kotlikoff. He's a professor of economics at Boston University, as well as a prominent author. You know, since you're talking about Europe real quick, Professor, if I may just interject real quick, I was just thinking about with everything that you spoke about, I mean, you know, you touched upon the TPP, NAFTA, and now you're talking about Trump's policy towards Europe. If we keep things in the economic perspective, what do you think he's going to do with the TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, you know, the mega free trade deal that Obama wanted to negotiate between the U.S. and the EU? What do you think is going to happen to that in the future?
I think he's an isolationist from what he seems to think that if we just shut off trade in general, this would be good for the U.S. He doesn't seem to understand that the prices of goods that we get from abroad are going to shoot sky high, that we don't make a lot of products that we desperately need to maintain the strength of our economy that we import from abroad, and that everything from clothing to food, to furniture, to appliances, to cell phones that I'm using to talk on, all these things are going to be dramatically more expensive, and the real incomes of Americans will drop if we become a closed economy. It's just an unprecedented posture and position for the U.S. to be taking, and history shows that it doesn't help countries. It leads to backwardness. It's also giving the impression of a country that isn't welcoming to immigrants. We have prospered a lot by foreigners coming to the U.S., immigrants coming and bringing their energy, including a lot of Russian immigrants, to our economy. It's just, portraying the U.S. as rather hostile to people who want to settle here. So I'm dismayed. I think most thoughtful economists are equally dismayed by someone who thinks that you can just play dice with the economy and everything will work out.
Okay, Lawrence, thank you very much for that. You brought up some pretty interesting points that reflect the mainstream conversation on this topic. Thank you very much. And now we're followed up by Mr. Chris Shipler. He's a regular here at Radio Sputnik, and he's also an American political commentator.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Chris, I want to ask you about Trump's trade policy because we see he's made some pretty interesting moves, the TPP, by scrapping it, and he wants to renegotiate NAFTA. So does this signify a move towards protectionism or, if we may call it, economic realism? Which is it?
How about neither, both, and even more than that?
What do you mean?
Russia, China, and most of the countries of the world, except the small little, debt slave, smaller countries that are tied to those three countries. What do these countries do? They make every decision based on one thing. Will this benefit our citizens and our country? So in this conversation about Trump and protectionism and that we hear going around and around and around the media, so why is it that when somebody like Trump seizes power and talks about making America great again, to benefit the citizens and country of the United States. Why is it all of a sudden that's odd to everybody in the world? When everybody else in the world, that's what they do. And that's what their job and responsibility is as politicians and leaders of a country. You have to ask yourself, what is globalism? Globalism is this simple. It is one, two, or three countries that have so much power and wealth that they dominate a bunch of little countries around them. It's as simple as that. There's nothing benevolent about, you know, being a world power. It's about power. So whenever you look at the U.S. or the China or the EU or even Russia, every decision that they make is tied to national interests, energy, minerals, trade, money, power, safety, and security. So what Trump is doing is just redirecting America or the USA back to what its core responsibility is as a government or country, as a government body should be, and that is take care of your citizens first. Take care of your internal security. Make sure people have jobs. Make sure your country's not in debt $20 trillion. You know, make sure that the future of the country is secure. It's that simple. But here's the thing in understanding Trump. Okay, over here on this side of the ocean, he recognizes that the United States, good, bad, or indifferent, has been bled tens upon tens upon tens of trillions of dollars in this globalist dream, you know, this utopian concept of what this world should be, all right? And it has bled this country dry. We're $20 trillion in debt. You've got 95 million people out of the workforce. We can't secure our borders. We've got, you know, like he said in his speech, you know, factories are like tombstones across the land. This is not the America I grew up with. This is not the America a lot of people grew up with. And people voted to change that, and they voted for Trump because he said, I'm going to change that.
Trendstorm. Well, whatever we're going to call it, Chris, I just want to ask you about whether we call it economic realism, Americanism, America First, Trump's ideology, just to be more general about it. How will it affect the U.S.'s global economic rivalry with China, especially if we bear in mind that President Xi is embracing reform globalization as he declared at the recent Davos summit, whereas, as you brilliantly explained, Trump is, you know, looking for America first, not the world first.
This is a totally different conversation. When you look at, first of all, you got to ask yourself, what's Davos? Davos is the globalist elite. These are the people that, for the common man and woman around the world, when they look at this group of people, there's not a lot of love lost there. And that's a kind of a different group than I would say, if you wanted to have a discussion about, you know, G20 as, you know, 20 countries coming together and saying, how can we work together, trade, peace, prosperity? They have a whole different goal and view of their role and, you know, their puppet strings on the world. So, in fact, if you come to think about it, Trump did not even send a delegation to Davos. So if that tells you, that'll tell you something right there. We're going to have to see how that plays out. And as far as China goes in Davos, you know, that's good. Fine. He went there and he sat down and said, you know, I'm all part of the group now and China's ready to play on the world stage and, you know, we want to be part of this. So we'll see how that pans out in the future as far as Davos and that group of people go. You know, when you look at China, it's really pretty simple. You know, 30 years ago to today, 40 years ago, 30 years, 20 years, you know, reemergence of Hong Kong, you know, the move from a, you know, basically a totalitarian communist state to a semi communist free enterprise state, and what they've done, it is no doubt it's an amazing thing. Well, here's the thing. When you look at Trump's relationship with China, I see that everybody's trying to create this conflict already. I read the articles, I read the comments under the articles, and I think most people are missing it. You have to look at the U.S.'s role in China over the last 30 years. We've dumped trillions of dollars into that country. And Trump has said it from the stage in his, you know, bombastic way, but he's going, we rebuilt China. And people go, oh, no, you know, China's its own thing and all, you know, da, da, da. But you know, think about this. It's very simple. The U.S. bleeds, all right, $500 billion, $500 billion of trade imbalance with China every year, times 10 years, That's $5 trillion. Just think about that for a second. Plus loans, grants, corporations, investments. It's tens upon tens of trillions of dollars. That's wonderful if you don't care about your own country. So when Trump looks at China, and he's talked about this, when he looks at China, he's going, we're losing half a trillion dollars a year of trade deficit to China. That is not animosity towards China. That's a businessman.
Yeah, these are just cold, hard facts.
I mean, think about it in terms of business. That's the thing you have to, you just have to look at it at, like you would a business and say, okay, we're losing, I'm a businessman. I'm losing $500 billion on this investment. Either I cut it off or I change the deal. It's as simple as that.
Chris, as usual, that was very comprehensive, and you really went into depth with that. Thank you very much. Our audience could have a lot to learn from that. So now if we just wrap up everything and we put together what both of these experts have revealed to us during this very interesting conversation, we see that they're on very opposite sides of the debate. Professor Kotlikoff is very skeptical about President Trump, and he actually doesn't think that Trump will succeed in what he's doing, let alone that Trump even knows what he's doing, whereas Chris is pretty confident that this is all part of a larger plan and that Trump is trying to reinvent America's economic role and that it will ultimately prove to be very successful in competing against China. So guys, if you want to sound off about what you think and share your thoughts on this a very interesting topic, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.